Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
How's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
It's good to hear. We've been on this series called Revive. We learned about some revivals in the past, what people think revival is, what revival could be. And if you've been a Christian for a while, I'm sure you've heard this term before, revival. I don't want you here today with any preconceived notions of what you think revival is. I know it's a lot to ask of you guys, especially if you've been in church and maybe you were alive during those times Pastor Mel was talking about. I wasn't. I mean, he said, like, revival stopped in 1982, and I was like, well, I was born in 1983, so it's like, yeah. So I'm over that, right? So here's the thing. Like, the revivals in the past, that's what they were. They were in the past. And the revival we are talking about today is a new thing. And I mean, it says in the Bible that we're not supposed to put new wine into old wineskins. And this just means we shouldn't be holding on to old ways when God is trying to do something new. Shouldn't hold on to old ways when God's trying to do something new. Pastor Doug believes that there's an awakening coming. With the political uncertainty and the state our country's in, there just needs to be a move of God and our nation. And I also believe that there's an awakening coming. And for God, and for a move of God to happen, I mean, it needs to start with us. We are his hands. We are his feet. The church is the body of Christ. If we don't do anything, no one will. The church is so much bigger than one person. City Light is something so much bigger. Each of us on our own, we can make small changes. But together, we can do great things. But there needs to be that catalyst for change. There needs to be a spark that ignites fire. I hope today that spark can come. And it's not going to come from anything I say, but it'll just come from a move of the Holy Spirit. Change starts with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's all about changing. The Spirit left behind, Jesus, was to teach us, to fill us up, to empower us, to help us to do great things. So I'm just going to open with a word of prayer. You guys join me. Father, we come to you today seeking. We come to you today just looking for what it is you want in our lives, what desires you have for us. God, we want to find the leadings you have for us, God. We want to know what goals you are in us, what desires and plans you have for us, God. And that can only be determined through your Holy Spirit, God. So we just invite your Holy Spirit in here today, Father. Come, have your way. Amen. Okay, let's get into the Word. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Listen up. I know it's hard to hear, but if we really want a move of God to happen, we want to feel God, then we need to change and we need to live lives that honor him. It's not a very popular message. Turn from your sins, ask for forgiveness. But it's one that needs to happen in order to heal the land. You might say, but my sins are so fun. Things of the world, you know, I enjoy them way too much. Or you might say, it's so hard to be holy. I keep trying and trying and trying. Like, that just seems like works, Burton. And aren't we called to be saved by grace? Those are all good points. It says that in the Bible. But let's look at Chronicles here. It says we need to first humble ourselves. Then we need to pray. Then we need to seek God's face. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. Turn from our wicked ways. And then what happens? God will hear. God will forgive. And God will heal. We want God to hear us. We would like God to forgive us. And we certainly need God to heal us. We live in a broken world. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, We are all so broken. So to experience that, all we have to do is just turn from our wicked ways. It's easy, right? No, it's not. It's hard. It's impossible, actually, apart from God. You know, only through the Holy Spirit can this be attained. Think of the Holy Spirit as a helper. It talks about him as a helper in the Bible. Look at John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him. If you're a follower of God, you've asked Jesus into your heart, you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus isn't leaving us high and dry. He didn't ascend into heaven and say, good luck, guys. But he left us the Spirit to help us. When we're tempted, it's the Holy Spirit that will help us to overcome that temptation. And when we're going out and inviting our one and asking people to come to church, it's the Holy Spirit that comes alongside us and gives us the courage. And it gives us the words to talk to people. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit prepares those people and prepares their hearts to receive what we're about to say. It's really amazing how God can work behind the scenes. And when you go to talk to someone, they've already come so far along and they're just so prepared. That's why every time we talk to someone about Jesus, it's not for nothing sometimes if they don't just accept Jesus right there. We're just on their walk, another step, another seed is planted. Maybe you're watering that seed. Maybe you're growing it. We all don't get to see the harvest, but we're all doing the work. So, John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what has come. So the Holy Spirit is also known as the Spirit of truth. And when I'm up here talking to you guys, I am seeking God, and I hope what I'm saying is true, because I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says that in John chapter 8, verse 32, that the truth will set you free. We need to be set free. We need to be set free from the world we live in, simply. The world we live in, it can suck. It can. There's a lot of things. Because of sin, we have many miserable situations we have to deal with. Illnesses, diseases, mental illnesses, crime, all these things. Over time, these things can become overwhelming. They can weigh us down. They can burden us. You know, sometimes we can feel like we're just completely wrapped up in chains, suffocated, nowhere to go. I notice a trend today in society especially where people are kind of becoming indifferent, even apathetic. Like, they don't really care about what happens in the world. They don't care about, like, well, it's all going bad anyways. Why should I help out? We can preach love and tolerance and acceptance, but it seems like we're just going through the motions. It doesn't really mean anything. There's no truth in it. We love our sarcasm in Canada, don't we? Just everybody I talk to, so sarcastic. And I think it's because we can say what we mean and say what we feel without actually saying it. Because if we said how we actually felt and just come out and said it, we'd probably get in trouble. We might stir up some feathers. But if we say what, we don't say what we mean, but we say what we feel, but not really say it, I mean, I'm probably losing a lot of you guys, but you know what I mean. The point is, we're just getting way too smart for our own good. Some things just need to be said how they are meant to be said. That's why as Christians, we need to care for people. We need to choose our words carefully. They need to be meaningful and impactful, and they need to leave a mark. That's how we're going to make a difference. Don't let your words be idle. We're given this tongue and this ability to say things. And when Jesus is in us and when Jesus is filling us, that's what should be coming out of our mouths. Not gossip, not pride. Don't talk behind people's back. Say what you mean what you say. Keep it simple. That's how we're going to make a difference. And if you want to really have a meaningful impact with what you say, have it line up with how you act. That's what Jesus did. So my first point, finally got there. The Holy Spirit has the power to change your nature. Change can be really hard. Changing something like a routine, that takes work. And changing a bad habit, that takes discipline. But changing your nature, that takes the Holy Spirit. Only God can change you from the inside out. We live in a world that promotes changing the outside. We look around and we see people, you know, they get plastic surgery, facelifts, put on all our makeup. We get wardrobe makeovers. We drive cars that look great. We build houses that look nice. It's all on the outside. Some behaviors and actions we do, addictions, negative tendencies, they're really hard to change. And too often we're attempting to change them all on our own. Without a relationship with God, addictions in your life, they hold you captive. It's like you're on this roller coaster. You know, sometimes you might be doing good. You might say, yeah, I'm living the good life. I'm not falling into that temptation. I'm not falling into that sin. And the next day, you just fall off the wagon. You're doing it again. You feel guilty. You feel miserable. It's because you're trying to change your bad habits on your own. We're born in a world of sin. We are born into this world of sin. Not only that, but it says in the Bible that we pay for the sins of our fathers. You think about that for a second. You know, when I think about my bloodline, my genetics, the things that run in my family, it's just a big mess. There's things like addiction, depression, anxiety, and fear. You know, my parents and their parents before them, they all had these things in them. They all were displayed. That's what was in my blood. It's in our blood. You know, we all have things that we have to deal with that our parents went through. Some of us have more than others. But I know if I asked you guys, you could all think of at least one thing. And you feel it inside you and you suffer the same way they did. It's in our blood. But thankfully, when I got born again as a Christian, I received a new bloodline. And that was a bloodline of a king, of royalty. It's the blood of Jesus that washes us clean and gives us a new life. Because Jesus was not born into a world of sin. Well, he was born into a world of sin, but he was born without sin. He had no sin in him. And that's why we're allowed to be free. Freedom only comes when the Holy Spirit is present. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Holy Spirit, freedom, hand in hand. Only the Spirit of God inside you can change your nature from an earthly one to a heavenly one. Then you're going to begin to experience this freedom that God has in store for you. So my next point, the Holy Spirit has the power to change your attitudes. First, your nature is changed. And as a result of that, your attitude will begin to change. Where there was anger, it's replaced with patience. You felt that one. Where there's depression, it's replaced with joy. And where there's bitterness, it's replaced with kindness. And the list goes on. Like, these are just three things that are scratched out and replaced. This attitude change is a result of the work of the Spirit inside you. It's just God working in you, shaping you, sculpting you. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. I know you guys have heard this a lot. And it says that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Who produces this kind of fruit? The Holy Spirit. That's right. It doesn't say that we produce these kind of fruits. It says that the Holy Spirit produces these kind of fruits. That's why we need him so much. And the fruit that they're talking about is just another word for attitude. Let's look at these attitudes, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are godly attitudes. The presence of the Holy Spirit is evident in our lives when these attitudes are present. Does the church reflect these attitudes? Does City Light Church reflect these attitudes? Every person here. That's a hard question. That's a tough question. And that's the challenge that we're faced with. I know, like, if we're not displaying this incredible fruit basket that God has given us, that we're not really living according to what he's preaching. And I know there's a lot of people here that are fruit baskets. But everyone here needs to get on the same page. We all need to be unified as a church in one accord. Do you suffer from a bad attitude? Pray to God to change that attitude by producing this fruit in your life. God's faithful to answer. You know, God says all we have to do is ask. Just ask, and he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. How easy is that? If you want this helper to come, you just simply ask. And the Spirit of God will help you to change. Change your nature, change your attitude, and finally, as a result, change your actions. When your nature aligns with the nature of God, and your attitudes are filled with the holy, like fruit of Spirit, you're going to notice a change in your behavior. You know, the things you did before, you're not going to do them anymore. The places you went before, you don't go there anymore. The thought patterns and behaviors you had, they begin to change. The things you put into your mind and watch, you know, those should be beginning to change. And I feel like when you meet, like, and talk to new Christians, they're all on fire. And the change is so evident. And they do this complete 180. It's like, yes, that's what you want to see. But we still are living in this sinful world, and over time, as Christians, we can just start to not be as changed and not be as 180. Maybe we're more like a 45, right? And you're walking along, and you say, yeah, I can watch that movie. That's fine. Oh, I can use this language. That's okay. And you just start to get burnt out, and you move away. You need the Holy Spirit's power continually. The more you allow the Spirit to do a work inside you, the more freedom you're going to experience. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. I love this verse. His Holy Spirit, moving and breathing in you, is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. The air you breathe, the Holy Spirit. And as you breathe it in and get filled with it and more, you're more fit to be in the presence of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is here on earth, and he is coming inside us, and he allows us to go to the Father changed and a new light, and then God can see us differently. Happens through a diligent prayer life. We need to be praying all the time. You know, it says in the Bible to pray without ceasing, so, I mean, that means without ceasing, right? You're going through your day at work, you pray for your coworkers, you pray for the people around you. You're going through a struggle, you pray through the struggle. You need healing, you pray for healing. Your joy and your exciting, you tell God how you're feeling. You tell God, thanks for that success. Man, I'm on cloud nine right now. If you're in the depths of despair, you share that with God and say, I'm going through a struggle right now. I'm going through a hard time. There's nothing you should be keeping from God. We like to come to God only when we need something, but we need to be spending with God every single moment of every single day. Through the highs, through the lows, through the blessings, through everything. Then God will be in us. His Spirit will be living in us. And it'll be changing the lives around you as well. Not just your own life. But it can have this trickle effect. God can use one person to reach so many people. This is what a revival is. It's a turning of God's people back towards him. Back into a relationship with him. You know, relationship gets broken over time. We just need to turn back. 2 weeks ago, we brought our son Everett to the Children's Hospital for surgery. As many of you know, and if you don't, he suffers from a rare disease. It's MHE, the short form. And this just means that he has bumpy bones. So he has these bumps all over his body, growths on his bones. And every once in a while, they cause him pain. They cause certain bones not to grow properly. So he needs to have them removed. And a couple weeks ago, he had three of these bumps removed. Two on his knee, and then they took out a section of his rib because your rib grows back. News to me. I didn't know that. And having been through this before, you know, Lisa and I, we prepared ourselves. And we tried to prepare Everett as best we could. And even with all the preparation and all the support that we had from the church, and there was a lot of it, and I thank you guys so much for all your support. It means a lot. But even with all that, ultimately, we needed to leave Everett in God's hands. You know, the first time, like, there came a point in this process where I actually began to struggle. Completely caught me off guard. You know, I wasn't prepared. Because the first time Everett had surgery, it was in Lethbridge. And in Lethbridge, when they send him away, you know, you say your goodbyes and then they bring him back into the operating room. Well, this time he was up in the Children's Hospital at Calgary. And they actually allow one of the parents to go back with them when they put them under for surgery and put them to sleep. You know, it's supposed to be better for Everett just to have someone there for him. So Everett got to pick somebody to go back there with him. And he picked Dad. So I get to go, yes. At least it's so much stronger than I am. But so we go back into this waiting room, the little tiny room where they're going to put the gas on him to put him to sleep. And we actually bought Everett these headphones so he could listen to a song while he was going to sleep. And we say, Everett, what song do you want to listen to? He says, I want to listen to No Longer Slaves. And it's like, that's such a good song. It's like his favorite song. And when he sings it, my heart melts every time. So he started listening to this song as the doctor puts the mask on his face. And he starts to go to sleep. And there's about three other doctors in the room with myself. So it's kind of full, and I just expected this to be this peaceful process, right? No longer slaves to fear. He's got this mask on his face. Just drift away. And I'll like kiss him on his cheek or something, and then I'll walk out of the room. So I'm holding Everett's hand, and I'm holding his hand, and his other hand starts to reach for the mask to rip it off. I'm like, what's he doing? And then he like, the other doctor in the room took his hand out of my hand and held him down. And he began to shake and convulse. I was like, is this normal? What's going on? And they're like, oh, these are just normal sleep movements and everything. But he's struggling to get this mask off. And he's looking at me. And he's got this look on his eyes. And he's just saying, Dad, help me. Like, don't leave me here. Everything inside me just wanted to grab him off that table, rip that mask off his face, carry him out of that room, and just run. Never stop. I didn't want Everett to suffer. I didn't want Everett to feel pain. And at the moment, I just let the situation fall out of my hands. You know, I had to trust that the doctors knew what they were doing. And I had to trust that God was going to take care of my son. But it was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. Just walk away. I was walking out of the door, I took his headphones and I took the phone, and the end of the cord fell out of the phone, and I was playing that song. It just turned on, loudspeaker, and it got to the bridge. And the words in the bridge said, you ripped the sea so I could walk right through it. You drowned my fears in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and say, I am a child of God. I was walking back to Lisa. I don't know why I was so far away, but I'm walking down this hall, and I'm just saying to myself, like, you drown my fears in perfect love. You drown my fears in perfect love. You drown my fears in perfect love. And I'm just saying that in my head over and over and over, because I was full of fear in that moment. So afraid of the unknown. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be, and I was questioning whether I made the right choice leaving him there, and I was also questioning whether I should just run back in there and get him. So I'm asking all these questions, drown my fears in perfect love. I made my way back to Lisa, shared the experience, and we went to the waiting room. We listened to worship music, and we waited. And, God was speaking to me. I learned something about the nature of a father. You know, sometimes the best thing we can do for our children is just to let them go into God's hands. Let go of our control. Hand them over. And I kept thinking about drowning my fears in perfect love. Perfect love. What's that? That's God's love. What does that look like? Well, God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. That's perfect love. And I was thinking about the anguish and the pain I was feeling when I left Everett there. And then my thoughts turned to how hard it was for God to watch his son die, hanging on a cross. I mean, at one point, Jesus, He looks up to heaven and he says, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And I think about Everett looking at me with those eyes, saying, "Help me." And how hard it is as a father to not do anything. And God had the power to take his son off that cross. And he didn't. He left him there to die. He was being killed. But he loved us so much that he allowed it to happen. That's perfect love. That's the love that cast out all fear. That love right there that God showed, leaving his son on the cross. Fears run rampant in our society. We have financial fears, political fears, health fears, relational fears, the fear of walking out of our house, the fear of the future, the fear of missing out, FOMO. There's all these fears. The fear of being afraid. I mean, you name it, there's a fear. And we so often, we just turn to the wrong things to deal with our fears, don't we? We try to self-medicate. We turn to things of the world. And time again, we're let down. You know, I was listening to this message by Billy Grand, and he talked about how when we do that, the hangover always comes. The hangover always comes. You go to the world and you turn, and you know this. You feel this temporary joy, but then you're let down. It's never enough. You're never satisfied. You can continue seeking, but you're never filled. There's nothing in this world that can take away our fears. Nothing. But God can drown our fears in his perfect love. And he gave Jesus as a sacrifice to atone for our sins. And he left behind the Spirit as a helper. Revival. We need to turn back to God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Only then can we conquer our sins. Only then can we cast out all fear. We can cast out our fear. We can cast out other people's fear. Catch hold of something. You have fear in your life today? I'm sure you do. You don't have to leave here today with that fear. You can come and you can leave the fear at the altar. Fear can overtake you. It can overwhelm you. It can hold you captive. But it doesn't have to. Jesus made a way to conquer that fear. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Our land's sick. Take a look at the news today. Look at all the bad things happening. It's troubles all around. But God can come and God can heal our land. But we as a church, what do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. And that's, I know that's a lot to ask as a church to do. But I believe together, supporting one another through small groups, through relationships, this church can actually accomplish that. Accountability is key. Prayer is so important. Let's be a church that prays all the time without ceasing. So I'm going to ask you guys if you would just join today with me trying to make this a reality. As a church, we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. And if you want to do that, I know we can have a huge impact on this city and on this country. And that's what revival is. It's not some crazy thing of people falling down. It's just us taking our lives and turning them back to God, deciding to live better lives, holier lives, with the Holy Spirit's help. He is our helper. So let's just pray to God right now, ask him for guidance. You guys can bow your heads. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your guidance. And God, we know that we need your Spirit for change to happen. We need your Holy Spirit to come and fill us, for us to be able to conquer the fears in our lives, for us to be able to conquer the past in our lives, for us to be able to conquer those people in our lives that said we couldn't do it, said we weren't good enough. God, we can only do that with your Holy Spirit to conquer the addictions that we're facing. God, the things in this world that are holding us captive in bondage. God, we need your Spirit to move, Father. You say all we have to do is ask, God. So we come together as a people and we ask. Let your Spirit come in here today, Father. Let your Spirit fall on this place today, Father. We humbly come before you and seek your face, God. Your face is all we seek. God, you say for the spirit of heaviness that we are to put on the garment of praise. And when we came in here this morning, God, we praised you. We lifted you up, Father. We put you in that place where you deserve to be. So as our spirits were heavy, and as we were suffering from the weight of the world outside of these doors, God, you gave us relief. And experiencing the true presence of you, Father, is all we seek. It's all we desire. It's all our hearts long for. And God, it says, as your followers, we will be able to recognize your Holy Spirit, God. As your followers, we will be able to have the Spirit inside us. There might be people here today, God, that have not chosen to follow you. And if that's you here today, I just want you to lead you in a simple prayer of asking God in your heart, and then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Live your life free. If that's you today, I just feel like you can say this prayer out loud or in your heart or whatever, but just repeat it after me. Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I know only you, through the death of your Son, can take away my sins. I thank you so much for the gift of freedom that you gave me on that cross. I accept that gift.